This is tape 5 of the 6-tape series, Pulling Down Strongholds Through Prayer and Fasting. For those who would like, we will share information on how you may obtain material produced at Shiloh Place Ministries following the message. We'd like to encourage you, before entering into a fast, consult a physician. There are those who suffer with certain physical problems to whom fasting may be detrimental.
About this, you may, during the fast, want to go through our Exposing Bitterroot Stronghold series. That'll expose some things in you. Or you may want to go through the Healing the Wounded Heart series. That'll expose every wound of rejection, every wound of hurt within you. Just the whole goal is I want everything exposed not like me, that these strongholds can come down during this fast. We're not going to get into strongholds. Those are a little bit there. And at the bottom, in praying and fasting, we take on an offensive posture that can break these bonds of wickedness off of our soul. How will my soul respond to a normal fast? How will my mind, will, and emotions respond to a normal fast? You may see this again. Fasting is much more a mental act than a physical thing. All this warfare you're going to go through in the fast, in darkness, it's not a matter of what's happening in the body. Even though the withdrawal of the toxins and the poisons in you, there will be physical things. The greatest battle is going to be in the mind. And the warfare does not just include the habit speaking to you, all these thoughts, wanting to be fed, wanting to be nurtured, wanting to be coddled. There's going to be demonic voices speaking to you all through the past. Get you off of this thing. You are doing harm to the kingdom of Satan. He does not like this. All of us have some kingdom of darkness issues in us. And you're beginning to assault those things offensively. They will not just lay down and say, just run over us. They are going to begin to battle with us. At no time during the fast do you need to go by feelings. If you do, you won't make it very long into the fast. The fast, the whole thing is a fast, is an act of faith. Remember Hebrews 11:6 says that faith pleases God and He rewards those who seek Him. The whole fast is an act of faith. You don't have to have any great physical spiritual revelations and experiences to receive during the fast. Usually most of them are long after the fast. Now, because I've been doing a lot of fasts, I do experience a lot of things during the fast now. In the early days, I did not. It was after the fast. But now, because I've learned all these voices, I've learned the voices of the flesh, I've learned the voices of the demonic realm during the fast, usually by the third or fourth day, I do start having tremendous experiences of the Father embracing me, the Father speaking to me, the Father holding me. Now, a lot of that is because of the depth of confession of sin I go into, that if I see sin, I don't stop at just confessing it to myself. I apply James 5:16. If I confess my faults to another and pray one for another, I am healed. I confess them to my wife or kids or my accountability partner who happens to be my pastor, Philip. I confess them to my ministry team. Of course, I even get 100-fold blessed. I confess them to all y'all, too. So I really move into the light then. Now, I don't recommend everybody confess them to everybody they run to you. You don't hear me confessing until I have victory. If I'm in an area of defeat and I'm opening that defeat up publicly, it brings defeat into others. It's when I've taken a defeat and turned it to victory, then I open it up publicly and it produces victory in others. Okay. A normal fast of 1 to 7 days may produce these type of inner battles and conflicts. They usually will begin on the second or third day. If you're a new faster, they will probably begin on the first day. But the second and third day for me are my battle and warfare days. You'll begin to sense this deep emotional conflict going on inside of you. Your mind, the imaginations can run wild. Dreams usually will begin to run wild. You may lay in bed at night, especially when your body starts running down with all these wild imaginations and dreams. There may be some of the most perverse, crazy things coming into your mind, or dreams and imaginations. Where is this coming from? Hidden realms of darkness in your subconscious. Hidden realms are beginning to rise to life. It's fasting's like. You know what they used to do to treat in the mountains And in older days, what would they treat deep wounds with? Salt meat. You can put salt pork on a wound and it draws all the infection out. When you begin to fast, it's just like that. It's a salt to you. It begins to draw infection out of you. And so these imaginations and these wild dreams, what's happening is it's revealing some things. Now, some of the dreams are spiritual in nature, and some of them may have been the pizza you had before you went on the fast or something, you know. But but I try to discern what that is. I may get up and write them down. Decided to find out what's causing these things. Is this revealing a deep level of unconscious wickedness within my life, a bond of wickedness? Your mind's pleasure center shuts down, so you usually get pretty agitated because the pleasure center is not feeling anymore. You'll be irritable, you'll be agitated usually on the second and third day. At time, what I do when I get too agitated with at home is I just let my wife know I'm moving into this phase. I really need to go to my bed and to the room and just not hurt y'all. And I need to separate. My wife and children have all been prepared for a fast. I've talked to them. They understand these things that are going on in bed. And so they've all been prepared for that. Again, the irritability with your family or friends for no reason, a loss of joy will occur. Discouragement can begin to come in and overwhelm you. You may find each hour getting harder to harder, and you're looking for every single excuse to break the fast. And night is terrible because what comes out in darkness? Demons. At night now, it's not just a physical thing, but at night what I find is now the oppression comes against you. And the demonic oppression and the voices come against you. Never break a fast at night. Why do you think they labeled the morning meal breakfast? You never break a fast at night. You wait until morning. If you'll make a commitment to that, it'll get you through the night. I found that. Otherwise, I move into breaking them at night. Breakfast. Break the fast. When you're going to break it in the morning, because what happens, you may be in torment and oppression and discouragement at night, and yet you go to bed and then you get up in the morning, man, I'm ready for another day of this. And you may even at the night before said, I'm going to break it in the morning. Don't break the fast at night. Don't break it during darkness. Set a goal to break it in the morning. Now the Jewish fast, if it's a one-day Jewish fast, yes, you break it at supper to supper. That's a different thing. We're talking of longer fasts of 3, 4, 5 days. Usually the fifth day, depending on the amount of toxins within your body, the fifth day warfare begins to ease. In fact, usually my fifth day, I'm really doing great. Energy returns. My body's adjusted to this new energy source. And the new energy source is it's feeding on all the toxins, impurities, and overdose of protein within every cell. Every cell is burning away the stuff that doesn't need to be there. And it's an impure fuel. It's not burning clean. It's like we're running a high test within your car engine, and the car runs much better than then getting a very low, low-grade fuel. The car just doesn't seem to run as good, and that's kind of what's going on. But it takes you a while to adjust to that, but once you adjust, you begin to come out of this darkness. Now, what I found in my life, and it may be different for you, that in longer fasts of over 7 days, about every third or fourth day is a dark day, and the other days are light days. Now, when you move past 20 days, the dark days are major dark. I've had to just go in bed and not get out of bed all day because it was so dark. And I say dark, literally depression and thoughts of life's not worth living and just terrible, terrible thoughts. That's all you can do to get through that day. And the next day, man, you got energy and you feel like you can conquer the world. And my wife says, you are totally gone crazy from one day to the next, you know. And it's just what I have found happens in me in longer fasts. The best way to overcome the darkness is worship. That's why what I try to do if I'm on a solitude fast where I'm off for 3 or 4 or 5 days in solitude, as soon as it gets dark, I'll move in and put on worship tapes, and that night is worship time. Worship through the darkness. Praise Him. Don't let feelings control you, but faith. You're entering into new realms of the spirit as well as new realms of freedom from the flesh. And this will release a whole new realm of warfare to you. That is a good sign, not a bad sign. A fast of up to 40 days. You may find similar things as we've talked before, but it gets much worse as you move into 20 days. Depression, the discouragement, the depression, the darkness. And after 25 days, it's all you can bear some days. And you'll begin to identify with the battle that Jesus had in the temptations when he was in the wilderness 40 days fasting. Again, usually 2, 3, 4 days of light and glory, euphoria. You'll begin to experience a euphoria during some of these fasts. Euphoria is if I used to be a long-distance runner, and I'd get down, and after about 5 miles, I mean, I would get into a high where I literally couldn't stop and could go 10, 15 miles, and you'd just be in and man, you'd be like in outer space. There'd be a euphoria or a high around you. That's very, very similar to the euphoria you'll feel on some of these days when you move past 5, 6 days in a fast. How might my body respond to a normal fast? During the seasons of fasting, that your body is brought into accountability, the temple of the Holy Spirit. What are some of the physical displeasures you may experience during a normal fast? At mealtimes, you will experience hunger pains because your body is used to feeling hunger at certain times. All you need to do is drink about 16, 24 ounces of water, fill the stomach up with water, and it's cooled the stomach, and the stomach won't be hungry anymore. So as soon as I feel hunger pains, I'll just fill myself up with distilled water. You may have headaches, backaches, nausea, dizziness, fainting spells for the first few days of the fast. All this is your body is in withdrawals from the sugars and the caffeine and the toxins and the chemicals that you pick up on a daily living. Rejoice at the pain. It is a signal that the body is moving into a healing crisis. It's beginning to detoxify. Your urine flow will be very acidity during this time, and within the commode, we talk normal, it'll be just very bubbly because it's all this acid coming out of you, is coming out of your body from the detoxification process. Learn to get up very slowly because it usually begins the third or fourth day. But if you get up too fast, you almost pass out. So you have to get up very slowly. Do not take hot baths. If you take hot baths, what's happened, because the bloodstream has flowed down, your blood vessels have constricted because your blood pressure's down, your heart rate's down, everything's slowed down, they've constricted. And then you get in something real hot, in a hot bath, it constricts more. I was 17 days in a bath and was into a fast and was in Toronto, and it was winter time and was freezing cold, and I couldn't stop being cold. And that's the other thing that will happen, is you will be extremely cold because of the fat burning away. And I just, man, I have just got to get in a hot bath or something. I went down and got in the hot jacuzzi. And I said, well, I'm only going to do 5 minutes and get out. I've got to get my body warm. I've been standing in line out at the church in Toronto for 2 hours to get one of the seats for the all-day conference. And then I got my Bible on the seat and ran back to get in the jacuzzi at the Best Western there, and went in and got in. 5 minutes was up. I took 3 steps out of that thing, got up as slow as can be, got up real slow, stood up, 3 steps, gone, passed out. I learned, don't do that again. Now, I found it very interesting. A couple got in the jacuzzi right when I was leaving, and I said hello to them, and they didn't respond to me. Well, must be Yankees or something, And I got on out, and then when I passed out and I woke up, I was only out about 60 seconds and waiting on the blood to come back in. And they're over me. They'd already gone and called the hospital or the medic team to come in, and I got talking to them as we're waiting, and I was fine, had a sore neck from smashing my head on the tile, but I got talking to them. This is their last chance for their marriage. They'd come to Toronto from up north, and it was last chance. Either they get something, God does something in them at that conference, or they're going to get a divorce, and at that point nothing had happened to them, and And I just gave them, I went out in the van that later and gave them a Bitterroot Stronghold series and said, take that home with you and listen to it. A couple months later, we got a letter from them. That thing transformed their marriage, was exactly what they needed to set them free in some areas in their marriage. So I don't know if it was a fast that I got slain in the spirit, if it was God just apprehended me, you know. But I learned I will not get in a jacuzzi again when I'm fasting. You may find mouth ulcers forming or skin irritations or rashing forming, and it's usually on the body. If you would take a half a teaspoon of sea salt, please, sea salt only daily. This usually does not occur. I've always had mouth ulcers until I read this in a book on water, mouth ulcers during a fast. I never get mouth ulcers except during a fast. That's the toxins coming out. And I read in a book on water a few months ago that those mouth ulcers are caused by an over-acidity in the body. If you would take larger doses of water and make sure you take a half a teaspoon of salt, it washes the acidity out and it doesn't store up in areas of the cell in your body. So we did a 12-day fast in September. It was the first time I'd never had mouth ulcers, but I was doing a half a teaspoon of sea salt a day. So I learned something from that. You pick up little hints here and there, and that was a good one. Because those mouth ulcers, I'm not talking one little one. I'm talking 6, 8, 10 of them in my mouth and longer fast. And my body's pretty detoxified from my diet. Weight loss may be as much as 1.5 pounds a day in the early days, and somewhere around 7 to 10 days it slows down to about 0.5 pound a day. Your acidosis will be the toxins coming out of your mouth. Your breath will be terrible. You will offend people everywhere I go. I always have mints in my pocket. But during that time, because I don't want to suck on anything, and during a fast, never chew. Never chew gum. As soon as you start chewing, your digestive system acids start being released in your stomach. And if there's nothing in your stomach and acids released, it's going to burn your stomach up. So you never chew. You don't do mints during a normal fast. What you do is I get a little thing of Bianca or whatever you call it, some type of sugarless thing. I don't like those things. They don't taste good. But you really don't want to smell what my breath is like at that time, because your breath will be terrible. I even brush my teeth, use mouthwash, and try kissing my wife, and she'll say, "Bah, bah." It's still bad, you know, after that. That's just one of the things you have to endure. I would not take garlic. You may want to take garlic, but I do take garlic during a fast, but it's the odorless kind that you can get at a health food store. I used to take regular garlic during the fast, and my wife made me stop. Because it would be in the sheets, it would be in my clothes, it wouldn't come out of my clothes, it would stain, and literally had to throw some shirts away. Because it would not be removed from that, because the toxins coming out with that garlic, the thing about the garlic is the garlic is a tremendous cleanser and detoxifier, and I take it almost every day anyway, but I have gone to the odorless kind. I also don't like to use any deodorants during a fast, because deodorants are full of chemicals, and they you're trying to detoxify your body, but what the deodorants are doing, you're adding all these chemicals back into your body during the deodorants. You can go through a health food store, and they have a crystal stick, deodorant stick. And I use the crystal deodorant stick. What it's designed to do is it kills the bacteria that cause the smell. In fact, once I started doing that, I went to that year-round, because it has no smell. Will you still perspire? Yes, but you'll have no smell to it whatsoever. And so now I don't have the stains in my shirts anymore from the fast that I do. So that's a very helpful thing of the fast. Go to that. I try to remove all chemicals and toxins from entering my body during a fast. And now we're adding nutritional things with the spiritual things. Do y'all want to hear the nutritional aspect of it? Okay. I bring the two together. You'll have to urinate quite frequently. Always stay near a commode, because you want to drink at least 8 ounces of water a day. Your bowels may not move during the fast, but will resume when you begin to eat. Any spiritual weaknesses or physical weaknesses you have during the fast will surface. Some people have had all this stuff surface during the fast. I'm not going to fast anymore because it damaged me. No. It revealed the problem you have that has been hidden. And that's what fasting will do. It'll bring any weaknesses. What it does to me is I have a vertebrae, the third or second vertebrae down, that's a little bit out of line. And chiropractor's trying to get it, it's a lot of it out of line, trying to get it straightened out. But in any fast, I am extremely weak in the back. And I have to travel with a chair. I can hardly stand long periods of time. Every weakness in your body will come to the surface during the fast. It's just being revealed during the fast. Good physical sensations found during the fast. The digestive system is at a state of rest, so there's more energy to flow to other areas of your life. Not more energy as a whole, but the energy flows into other areas of your life. Where it flows mostly to is to the immune system to help bring healing and restoration to your body. You will become more mentally alert and clear than you've ever been in your life. Color begins to come. You can discern things in people. You can discern things in you. It's like most of us live in a fog that all these toxins and all this flesh and these voices bring to us, hollering and screaming at us all the time. And now everything's removed and everything's so clear. That's why fasting is able to bring down strongholds. You so clearly now see the wickedness within your life. Now within that, you'll also see it in other people's lives. So there's a mental and a spiritual clarity. You'll have an overall sense of good health and vitality. You'll start feeling good inside. After 4 or 5 days, there'll be no desire for food whatsoever. Now sometimes, now we're sharing with one person said, well, I ate one time during a fast. Did I fail? Was God upset with me? No. There are times I still will have to eat, especially if I've got a meeting to do and I know my body's not going to make it. What I'll do is I always have some applesauce around me. I don't like to do this, but if I've got to do something to get through an event, I'll eat a small dose of applesauce. Now, it does kick your digestive system back into flow. And if you want, you can go to the health food store and get all natural health applesauce from the health food store. It costs about twice as much. But if you look on the label there, sugars are added. Or you can get it from Winn-Dixie or Harris Teeter or something. And so I keep a jar of applesauce around all the time in case I have to. Or if I've got to have an evening with my kids, I know I've been neglected them, I totally wiped out, I may eat a bowl of applesauce just to get a little 2-hour energy burst just so I can give my kids some quality time. So I cheat on these. Okay? I'll let you know up front. I hadn't perfected this. But then there's times I'll go through the whole fast and it may be just water or it may be a little bit of juice during the fast. And I don't know if it's later on in this, but I'll mention I do nutritional fasting more often than I do water fasting. Nutritional fasting is there are nutritionalists that will say never to do a fast with just distilled water. Well, they don't understand the biblical principles behind it. But there are also other nutritionalists that say the only fast you should do is distilled water fast. So I try to discern what is God going to allow me to do during this. And probably 3 out of 4 of the fast, I do a fruit juice in the morning out of my juicer. You can get a juicer for about $39.95 at Walmart. The best ones are usually the Champions because they're the easiest to clean. They're $250 from a health food store. But I'll do about two or three apples, a pear, and a handful of grapes in the morning, and that all-natural juice. I'll dilute it with about one-third or one-half distilled water. May put some colloidal minerals in there and to keep the mineral flow going. And I'll have that fruit juice in the morning. What that does is it throws your body into a much deeper, intensified detoxification process. It happens faster. And then in the afternoon, late afternoon or evening, what I'll do is a vegetable juice. There is a vegetable juice concoction, if you can drink it and keep your stomach down, that involves garlic and onion and lettuce. And you'll find this in the book Prescription for Nutritional Health by Dr. James Bosch. You can get it in any health food store, and it'll give you in the fasting section the vegetable juice you can take. And very rarely do I do that because I can't keep it down. What I do in the afternoon is about 12 ounces of carrot juice with maybe some celery in there and parsley in there. And I'll do the vegetable juice. What happens after you take that juice during a fast, I call it a brain buzz. You get a brain buzz. And what it is it's the body kicking into a deeper level of detoxification and cleansing. And you can feel it. When you go into detox, you feel this heat or this burning thing going through you, and it's purging and cleansing out the acidities and the chemicals and the toxins that have been within you. And you'll also get an energy burst. So sometimes when I need an energy burst, and when I'm fasting, I'm on the road. If you go to my motel room or wherever we're staying at people's houses, I've got my champion juicer with me. I carry all these bags of carrots and apples with me, and I'll juice even in the motel room at home prior to a meeting, because that helps me get through a meeting, especially if I'm in a longer fast. Right before I come to the church, man, I'm drinking 16, 20 ounces of carrot juice before I come in, and then I can come in here and still flow within the meeting. So I ask God, what will you let me do during this? helpful tips during the normal fast, always at least 64 ounces of water. That should be every day of your life. Most disease and sickness are from a water deficit. Most people are literally starving for water. Their body's crying out for it. Back problems, liver problems, heart problems, cancer problems, all can somehow be traced back to water, because your whole immune system is water-based, fluid-based. It flows through the lymph glands. So large, large amounts of water, and this helps the detoxification process. Talked about the juice there. No orange or tomato juice or V8 juice at all during any fast. It is too acidity. Full of acid, it really will mess you up. Try to get plenty of rest during the fast, fresh air, light exercises. Short walks is nice, no caffeine at all. It totally counteracts the physical benefits of the fast. So you want to get off of the caffeine. We mentioned the herbal detox, the colon cleanse that you can add to help cleanse your colon. There are many people that say do not even do the colon cleanse during your fast. I've done it on through it and haven't found any negative results. The reason they say no colon cleanse during the fast is because your whole colon and digestive system is shut down. Now, I carry fasting to a whole new level. And I've read about it in so many nutritional books. I also do a colon cleansing during the fast, many of the fasts, not all, again, if the Lord says I can do it this way. There is a way to cleanse your colon as well as to prevent all the body pain, and it's by doing coffee enemas during the fast. Here's the one that Teresa was kidding about so much last night. But coffee enemas is a nutritional miracle, Lily, that they've discovered in the last 10 years. Almost everybody that is treating certain types of cancers, especially any cancer within the lymph nodes, any cancer within the liver, they are being treated now with coffee enemas. They found one of the greatest treatment programs that hinder cancer from spreading within your body. There's something, and I don't scientifically fully, I don't understand it, about when coffee or caffeine hits the colon wall, it causes all the toxins that build up within your liver and kidneys to be released. It's like it's all been backed up, and a lot of the back pain and headaches within your body are related to all these toxins and chemicals that are building up in these vital organs, and they're not released, and it's causing that back pain. And you can be, Avis Hammond's the one that told me about it, and I'd read about it in the book Prescription for Nutritional Health, and I said, this is not for me. But then I went into a fast, and I'm in solitude up on a lake near Marion, Lake Marion, up near a town near Santee, South Carolina, and I'm 3 days into the fast, and I haven't been able to pray for for 24 hours. I'm in total agony. I hadn't Daniel fasted before the fast. I just jumped right into it. My body's full of all these toxins. I'm sitting there. I'm wasting my time. And I've got the book, Prescription for Nutritional Health, and it tells me just what to do. And I literally couldn't even get off the bed. And I think this is a total waste of time. And Avis had been telling me, man, if you just do one of these coffee enemas and follow the guidelines in that book, you'll overcome this thing. And so I made it to the van, drove over to Walmart, got the required ingredients, and did what it said to do in the book. I went out and ran 5 miles. So when I was still running, just full of energy, all the back pain gone, all the headache gone. And so now on the second or third day, I do at times move into this, and what it also does is cleanses your colon out tremendously. And so that's why I will often stay on the colon cleanse program during the fast, and even in the book it's into either garlic or lemon enemas that are much more even flushing and flushes out that whole colon. Your health, 90% of man's health is in their colon. And most people's colon, like Elvis Presley's colon, was this big around when he died. His colon weighed 60 pounds when he died. And it's this big around, but it only could a pencil flow there. It goes through there. Because what happens, all undigested foods within your body become a plaque. If you eat white flour or white breads, white flour and white, it's totally undigestible. Your body cannot digest white flour. And so what it does, it lines the colon wall. And if you like them biscuits, I mean, tell you, that's great. But you must know you're lining the colon wall with plaque. And so Elvis loved biscuits. He had to have the biscuits. So his colon was this big around with a hole as big as a pencil to go through there. And so what colon cleansing does, it begins to strip the colon wall. The average 40-pound man or woman that's been on a non-nutritional diet, it takes 7 years to cleanse your colon. You find someone with a hardened, pot-belly type person, that hardness is the colon that has built up, and it's a hardened plaque. And so there's times during colon cleansing, even during the fast, that you'll have things come out of you, strips of plaque 3 and 4 feet long. One man pulled out of him a strip in one nutritional book I read, 28 feet long. But it was the whole thing broke loose. Now, where's the worms and the parasites and the tapeworms live? They live between the plaque level and the colon wall level, and they hide feeding off all the undigested matter. And you need to realize what these tapeworms and these parasites are releasing into you. They're releasing into you their urine. They're releasing into you their feces. And it's defiling your colon, and it releases sickness all through your body. I've been colon cleansing 8 years now. I've not been sick in 7 years. I do still have the back, lower back problem. I'm talking about I don't suffer with the flus, with the sicknesses. So I've combined the Word of God, Isaiah 58:8, that healing will speed forth speedily with nutritional understanding and detoxifying understanding. Everybody doesn't need to do this. You can just go right into a spiritual fast. I was asked to teach, or I set myself up to teach on this week. I'm telling you the way I do it. You don't have to do it my way. You find what works best for you, what produces the best healing for you. The book is listed there at the bottom of that one point, Prescription for Nutritional Health. It's also on the last page as a suggested book list by Dr. James Bosch. I like this book for one reason. He is a medical doctor. And his wife was co-author with him, and she is a clinical nutritionist. So we're getting a medical doctor with all the scientific understanding of the human body, as well as a clinical nutritionist with all the understanding of food, writing a nutritional book, because you get a lot of nutritional books that are someone that's just not writing from the scientific data. He's not a Christian. I haven't seen anything New Age in there. He's just giving you all these nutritional aspects of healing. The book's about $15.95, an excellent reference. Important caution, there are some people who should never enter a fast without a prior doctor's approval and oversight. Those who are so thin or emancipated that they have no fat content in their bodies at all, I'm pretty thin, but I am not too thin to fast. Again, I started fasting on January 1st of 1996. I weighed 220 pounds. When I completed a 21-day fast, four weeks in between of Daniel fasting, then a 40-day fast last year, I weighed 174 pounds at the end of that. I used to weigh 175 pounds when I was a fisherman at sea because of the lifestyle we lived out there. So I moved right on down today right now. My pants are kind of bunched up a little bit from all the fasting. These normally would fit snug, but right now I'm about 194. And so I've got 20 more pounds I could give with even as thin as I am now, and I don't move into any danger zone. But if you're too thin, very emancipated, you don't want to fast. Those who have extreme fatigue or anemia, those with heart problems, cancer, tumors, blood disorders, ulcers, kidney or liver problems, lung ailment, diabetes, sugar problems, if you're pregnant, you really don't want to get into normal or total fasting, but Daniel fasting would be a good way to go. And I would recommend then get to something like either Go Natural by Mark Verkler, which is a biblical basis of Daniel fasting or of nutrition. Here's another good one, the Genesis Diet by Gordon S. Pessler, who is also a PhD. He'll give you a good basis, and those are both listed in the back of your book there. Ending the longer normal fast. How do I end the longer normal fast? I found that ending a fast is the most difficult part of all. I have not always done it right, and especially the 40-day fast I did last year, I ended up in bed for 2 days very ill. I didn't do it right. Because what happens when you take your first bite of food, now your flesh begins to rage more and more and more with every bite, and you begin to cry out. And it can be very dangerous to not break a fast right, especially longer fasts. It can throw your body into a state of shock, and people have known to have died from not entering back into eating in a proper way. And what happens, you'll lose your sense of euphoria very quickly. You'll lose your sense of any spiritual or emotional physical benefits you may have thought you're going to get out of this. And how you know when you're not entering back into it is summer cramps and diarrhea will usually be the first thing that happens. And as soon as that happens, we need to stop eating immediately. Because darkness and oppression will come into that. We need to go back to either juices or diluted juices and water only during the fast. And when I say juices, not store-bought juices, because they're full of sugars. If you're going to use store-bought juices, dilute them. There are seasons I used to go into a fast. In the early days, I would use Welch's grape juice, and I would take 2 or 3 ounces of Welch's grape juice full of sugar. It says on the label, no sugar added. They're liars. Read the back of the label. On the front label, it says no sugar added. On the back of the label, it gives you the sugar content. There's no sugar added after they take the concentrate and add water to it. But the concentrate was filled with water. Filled with sugars. And so I would take 2 or 3 ounces of the grape juice and add maybe 6, 8, 10 ounces and learn to start diluting it down to where I could just go water only. Now I don't do that anymore because I try to remove the sugar out of my life during the fast. But breaking a normal fast, you may want to start with some diluted juices, continue on through that, say that breaking a fast of 3 days, 64 ounces of water, continued with that a day. The best thing to do is get up in the morning, maybe have some applesauce, or the best thing is watermelon or cantaloupe. Never, ever, even when you're not fasting, eat watermelon and cantaloupe with any other food. What happens when you go into Morrison's? You've got the little watermelon and cantaloupe dishes right there together. They totally counteract each other. The enzymes it takes to digest those set those two things into motion, and they're actually destructive to your digestive system, and there's no nutritional benefit from them whatsoever. Anytime you eat watermelon or cantaloupe, you've got to eat it separate from anything else. You should never eat it as a dessert. You should eat it separate from other foods. Now, this is just nutritional facts. But if you were to have watermelon in the morning, watermelon is one of the most cleansing things you ever go on. Every summer, I do at least 1 or 2 or 3 watermelons fast the summer. I will just do nothing but 3 days of watermelon. Man, you talking about brain buzz? By the second day, you just feel the stuff washing out of you because it's watermelon itself, one of the greatest diuretics and cleansing things you can put into your body. It's also fun. And at times I'll just drink watermelon juice perhaps during a fast and just keep my juicer going with the watermelon juice. And boy, again, the buzz, you get ready. It's not a comfortable feeling. It's not an uncomfortable feeling. The joy of it is, no, man, I am really in detox. I am really cleansing my body. And the whole time I'm thinking, when I take the acidity rate and the toxins out of my body, God created an immune system. He created an immune system that it naturally will heal your body and heal itself, that you're created in God's image. We're getting into the next chapter, but you being created in God's image means that you are created as healing, a natural part of who you are. Healing is not something God does. Healing is who God is. Exodus 15:26, I am the Lord God who healeth thee. And you're created in His image. Jack Frost, I am healing. Cut my body and I'll show you. What happens as soon as you have a cut on your body? Healing begins immediately. Healing is built into every cell and fiber of your body. Why are you sick? Somehow you've interfered with the natural healing processes of your body. It's supernatural that God has created us to heal ourselves. Every day, you've got cancer. Do you realize today all of us have cancer? All of us have heart disease. All of us have arthritis flowing through our blood, flowing through our cells right now. Now, why do some of us succumb to it and others do not? The immune system. Your immune system is designed to defeat heart disease, cancer, arthritis, every disease that can come to the body. God's created you to walk in perfect divine health. It is a supernatural thing. He's created you to rise upon every sickness and every disease that's within this land. Why aren't we doing it? Are you positioning your physical body in such a realm of light? Are you doing what it takes for your immune system to operate in maximum immune efficiency? You see, that's the whole thing of fasting again here. How can I create my immune system to be an efficient organ or an efficient system within my body that God has created for healing to just flow through me? Because I am Jack Frost who healeth thee. He is the Lord God who healeth me, yes. But I'm created in His image. Healing flows through me. Not New Age thing. They can't create anything new. Have you ever found a $30 bill? Why doesn't anybody counterfeit $30 bills? You don't counterfeit something that's not out there. You counterfeit the real thing. And the New Age and stuff into nutrition and herbs and all that stuff, all they're doing is counterfeiting the real thing. And the real thing of nutrition and herbs and the body healing itself, that's something God designed within your body, and they are perverting it and making it into some God thing. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about God creating your body to heal itself, and in fasting you can renew and restore and revitalize your immune system. Now, how do I do that? And that's where, again, times of watermelon fasting, watermelons or cantaloupe, if not them, apples or grapes or pears can be where you start, chewing very slowly, eating very little to start to readjust your immune system or readjust your digestive system as it kicks back into motion. For lunch, you may have a small salad or usually I try to stay away from dressing. I used to love dressing. Now I use almost no dressing. I'll use lemon on top of it now, or I'll use some type of tomato sauce or on top of it. Take small bites and chew slowly there, and supper, usually a raw salad, to move back onto this, because I'm trying to keep this healing flow going through my body.
This concludes side one. Please turn the tape over for side two.